The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around Jesus to listen to his teaching, at which the Pharisees and the religious scholars murmured, "This person welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus addressed this parable to them. A man had two children. The younger of them said to their father, "Give me my share of the estate." So the father divided up the property between them. Some days later, the younger son gathered up his belongings and went off to a distant land. Here he squandered all his money on loose living. After everything was spent, a great famine broke over the land, and the son was in great need. So he went to a landowner, who sent him to a farm to take care of the pigs. He was so hungry that he could have eaten the husks that were fodder for the pigs. But no one made a move to give him anything. Coming to his senses at last, he said, "How many hired hands at my father's house have more than enough to eat, while here I am starving? I will quit and go back home and say, 'I have sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called one of your children. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" With that, the younger son set off for his home. While still a long way off, the father caught sight of the returning child and was deeply moved. The father ran out to meet him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "I have sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called one of your children." But his father said to one of the workers, "Quick, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Take the calf we have been fattening and butcher it. Let us eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now he is found." And the celebration began. Meanwhile, the elder son had been out in the field. As he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the workers and asked, "What is happening?" The worker answered, "Your brother is home, and the fatted calf has been killed, because your father has him back, safe and sound." The son got angry at this and refused to go into the party, but his father came out and pleaded with him. He said in reply, "Look, for years now I have done every single thing you asked me to do. I never disobeyed even one of your orders. Yet you never gave me so much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes home after going through your money with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." And the father responded, "But my child, you are with me always, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice. This brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found." The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here we are. We are at the cusp of the middle of Lent. So you see the rose and the rose that says we're rejoicing because we're halfway through Lent. So how's it going? The challenges that you have, the things that you've committed yourself to, is it time to look at that again and say, maybe it's time to give that another thought. So last week, we talked about the fig tree, and we tasted some figs. Some like them, some not so much. And we talked about God's great mercy in terms of waiting for us to come to fruit, to be fruitful. And so this week, we look at both reconciliation and the, how would I call it, the different characters in the story that Jesus tells and the way we all come at this. So the first reading that Nan read talked about that moment in time when the Israelites had gone from slavery in Egypt to the wilderness, and now we're coming to Passover and then the Promised Land, and they didn't have to rely on manna that they'd relied on. They got to eat the fruit of the land. And so that's the process of slavery or sinfulness, things that restrict us, bind us. Sometimes we have to wander in the wilderness a while to figure out how to change, how to turn back, how to turn home. And then to come to know God differently and know God's love in a great way. And so when I was listening to that story of the parable, I guess, that Jesus told, a parable has lots of meanings, but it's meant to kind of push us off center and say, what the heck? What does that mean? And so when we think about this parent, the father, receiving his child who had taken off with his money and inheritance, and he hadn't heard from him for a long time, and then being welcoming when he comes back, that makes us pause and say, what would I have done in that situation? So let's look first at that young man, the one that asked for his inheritance. And the reason this is based on a father and the boys is this is a patriarchal story, because that was the culture of the time. It wouldn't be talking about a mother or daughters, because that wasn't how things worked. So if he's talking to the Pharisees and this group of people, he needs to talk in a way they'll understand. So he knows the father, you know, has land, he's wealthy. And so when the younger son comes and says, I want my inheritance and I want it now and I'm out of here, I can hardly imagine how the father felt at that moment. And I imagine there were words, wouldn't you think? And so to relent to that and let him go would have been tremendously difficult. And whether or not there was a resentment held for that, one can only guess. So that younger son, we would guess, was selfish and wanted what he wanted when he wanted it and took off. Well, the older son knows that he has an inheritance coming, and he's there working every day doing exactly what his father wants him to do, but there's no joy there. He's doing it out of obligation. He's doing it out of what he will get someday for doing that. He's not happy to be there. The relationship doesn't sound good. And so it's like, okay. And then the father in that situation seems kind of aloof and removed. And so this is going on with the elder son. The young son's gone. We don't know what happened to the mama, but she's not in the story. And so many of you know that I'm involved in the Al-Anon circles, and I have sat with people who have needed to let their relatives go off with addiction, a slavery of a sort, and not know whether they're alive or dead or where they are, and the great pain that causes, and the mixed emotions, and the people that we encounter that are unsheltered in our community often have a mental health or an addiction involved in their lives, a way that they're unsheltered and without work and hungry, just like the younger son. And he had a safety net, so he could, at the moment of crisis, turn around
And again, not because he was particularly sorry. He just practiced what he was going to say to his dad so his dad would let him at least come and be one of the hired people. And so still he turned around, but he didn't change his heart. But he came back, and the father saw him coming, and who knows the wilderness that the father had traveled during this time in terms of relationship and what was important. And so when he saw his son and embraced him and then said to the elder son, you know, kind of, I'm sorry I haven't paid attention to you. I just assumed that you knew that I loved you. So when I put for the theme for this week, caught being good, it's like when Greg and I looked at our kids growing up, we tried really hard to find them doing good, to catch them doing good and say, hi, you're doing a really good job with that. And not just find them in the moment of punishment, but rather say, wow, what a good job with that. And sometimes we had to put our hands over our mouths not to catch those not so swift times, and rather reinforce the good times, the good things, the good choices they were making. And so when we look at this family, it's like, what are those good choices? And God comes to us and meets us there and says, I'm here and you're my beloved and I love you so much. And I'm going to catch you being good every time I can and encourage you to love, to share relationship, to have compassion and not be in judgment of others. The very first lines of this gospel were about the Pharisees were irritated with Jesus for eating with sinners. Well, we're all together and we're eating together. And we're all in the same boat. Some days great, some days not so good. And we know that God wants to catch us being good, and we want to catch each other being good and reinforce that in one another. And so I just think about what it means to turn around, to offer love, to release our self-centeredness, not our self-care, not our self-love, but our self-centeredness, enough to build relationships and reconcile with one another. So I'd ask you to pause for a moment and go through the filing cabinet. And if there's someone that you've let leave your life, or they've left your life, or you've pushed out, or is there someone who you need to make contact with in a safe way? So a note, or write the note, don't send it, but write it. And own your part of these behaviors that break relationships. And I'll let you sit with that a minute. Make a mental note for yourself. May the Holy Spirit lead and guide you this week ahead. And today we have an exciting time. We get to bless two new members as formal members. So if Lorraine and Linda could come forward, please.
Yeah. You can stand right in the middle. Alice is going to come up too. And I'm going to bless you from up here. And you get to